Welcome to the Schwartz Standard Station with your host, Bob Schwartz. Sitting in the passenger seat today is Charlotte French.
It's something that's on everybody's mind that we don't talk about enough. In my industry, well, my industry wants to talk about it all the time. There's just, I think people need to understand, how do you pay for it?
Yeah.
How are we going to handle that?
Right.
And what's going to give us the asset base that we need to get through that? I was visiting with some people the other day, owned a lot of ground, and they had someone in their 90s in long-term care. He had about $500,000 in a savings account, and that's what they were using to fund the long-term care.
Wow.
That was fine. I mean,
yeah.
It was costing, I think, $6,000 a month, and, you know, that person's probably going to be gone before the $500,000's gone.
Right.
You know, plus it's costing $6,000 a month, but that person has Social Security coming in, you know, so that lessens the load a little bit. And I think we figured they had 10 more years of money left, even with that money not making them anything. So, you know, there are ways to take care of paying for long-term care. Some make more sense than others. What I like to help people realize, it's not a non-scalable mountain. It is a hill, but it is a manageable hill that you can maneuver around or maneuver over. With, you know, is it going to nick your net worth? Yes, probably. But you probably don't need to go out and spend money on an expensive long-term care policy.
Okay.
So I thought that's what we would talk about today.
Okay.
For a few minutes. So I just thought that kind of having a little precursor of what long-term care assisted living costs are running today.
Right. So $4,051 is the average cost, and that's per month.
Yeah. So that's $48,000 a year. So Kansas's is the average cost. I find this surprising. Kansas is $5,090 a month, $1,000 more than the national average, which, you know, I hope our level of care is better. That said, the new facility in Silver Lake, which is assisted living, is considerably higher than that.
Well, it looks like a pretty nice place.
$8,200
a month. Oh my gosh.
For an individual. So, and I have a lot of clients in there when at their open house.
So that money would be gone in just over 5 years for this other person that we were talking about. Wow.
Yeah, and average stay in a rest in a long-term care facility, the last time I saw it for a male, 2 years, less than 24 months. For a female, less than 60 months. So chances are, once you go to long-term care, you know, having to be in a facility for 10 years, you know, that terrible, unthinkable of like having a stroke and being in a long-term care facility for 20 years, you know, having a stroke in your 50s and then, you know, having
right.
that happen. That doesn't happen very often. But I like to say, you know, people can be on track for retirement and everything's going great, but there's a light at the end of the tunnel, and that's the long-term care train coming at us. Because I think 60% of us are going to need, of us 65 and older are going to need some type of long-term care. Was it 60 or 70?
Might have been 70%. 70% chance that Americans 65 or older will need long-term care at some point.
So let's go back. When I started in the industry 40-some years ago, it was 1 in 4. 1 out of 4 Americans were going to need some long-term care. Well, what happened?
Do you think it was
1 out of 4?
Life expectancy and people staying home. I mean, having a spouse or something that could care for you more.
That definitely it's number for sure number one.
Okay.
And there's several, and the other one you're very close to, or you're right on it. We're living longer, mm-hmm. which means when we live longer, we're going to have more care needs, and mm-hmm. then also
have more breakdowns along the way.
Yes. Yeah. And you know, I'm 70 now, mm-hmm. and I see it myself. I mean, I'm not, you know, I go to the doctor more. Is it a terrible breakdown? No, but it's a, you know, I've got to go get this taken care of.
A little tune up.
Yeah. So we're living longer. Mm-hmm. Secondly, societally, we're changing. It used to be, the woman would stay home, take care of the husband. And I've watched that in my own family kill people, make an early demise for my mother because she spent time taking care, mm-hmm. it wore her out taking care of my father.
Yeah.
We don't see that as much today, although we still see it, of course. But the other thing is different types of long-term care.
Okay.
When I was 20, long-term care was long-term care. You went to, it was an old folks home. That's mm-hmm. what we called them. And, you know, there wasn't any transitionary places, assisted living, you know, or places where you could go and have an apartment. Mm-hmm. Drive, still drive your car, things like that weren't around. So we've gone from 1 out of 4 to 70% of us. Yeah, you know, that's almost 3 out of 4 of us will need long-term care. That's basically every household in America. If you live long enough, you're going to need some type of long-term care. Now, that can be people coming into your home, and that's what I hope my assisted living is somebody comes into our home and you know, helps Deb and I do whatever it is that we need help with. That's a perfect world, isn't mm-hmm. it? And not everybody's world's going to be that way. So I want to be talking to people today about, okay, what are those transitionary situations? As we looked at $5,000 a month in Kansas for assisted living, those are the types of places that you can go to. Still have your car, mm-hmm. still go places, but pick your level of care. And it's gonna have expense depending on that. And there's companies that will have you, there's long assisted living facilities that can take you from the very minimal of help mm-hmm. all the way to end of life care. Most of those require an upfront large sum of money.
Right.
To go into, and then also require a monthly expense. The key thing that we want to look at along those lines, though, is how do I fund any kind of assisted living or long-term care that I have? And the first thing that we tend to do wrong is if it's $6,000 a month or $5,000 a month for Kansas mm-hmm. For assisted living, we think, oh, that's going to be $5,000 a month out of my pocket. Well, that's true. But we generally have other income.
Right. What's this other column here that has the 167? It's the first column.
That's per day.
Okay. Oh, I see. That's per day.
Yeah, that's per day. Per day, per month, and per year.
You know, per day, it doesn't look as bad as it does per month. It, you know, that's, I guess, if I was needing a certain quality of care, that's what I would expect. So, anyways.
So let's say that we have a crisis. In our home, and one of us has to go to assisted living, mm-hmm. and it's $5,051, $5,090 a month, mm-hmm. and we go into assisted living. How are we going to pay for that? Well, there are a myriad of ways, but let's just talk about ground zero. Let's say that person has $2,000 a month coming in from Social Security. Well, his spouse is going to need part of that for the cost of the home, of their house, upkeep. But technically, that could go towards the long-term care cost. Mm-hmm. And hopefully, the wife would have enough assets in her Social Security income, or they'd have enough in retirement plans. Most of my clients have to come up with about 40% of the cost out of pocket, meaning their pension, Social Security covers the rest of it. So about $2,000 a month, mm-hmm. let's say in this case, would have to come out of pocket. Well, in That's $24,000 a year. That's $48,000 in 2 years. And the key thing about being in assisted living, Charlotte, is that probably means I'm going to have more care.
Right.
Someday in the future. So what we like to look at is twofold. There are products out there that are annuities that mm-hmm. are kind of like a CD, but they have long-term care benefits involved in them. Well, how does that work? Well, every year the long-term care benefit goes up when the client doesn't need it. So we'll have people that will use part of their retirement or part of their savings and put it into a situation where it will earn, has the opportunity to earn a little bit of money, but then also gives them a long-term care protection.
Mm-hmm.
But another place would be in their invested assets. So if someone had $200,000 in an investment account, a retirement, could they pull out $2,000 a month? Well, not forever, but it would be sustainable for a while. And if the average long-term care cost is 2 to 5 years, you know, that asset base is probably going to cover it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to leave anything for any heirs, but would possibly cover it. So you or I, let me use myself, you're young. If I need to go to assisted living, I need to look at what is my retirement base. Otherwise, how much do I have in my retirement accounts? Do I have a pension? If I do, how much is it? How much is my Social Security a month? And then how much does my wife need in order to sustain her lifestyle and our home and things like that, while I'm going through that transitionary mm-hmm. period? And that's what we do for people. We sit down and go, yeah, your asset base is fine. Or, gee whiz, you don't have enough assets. And you're probably going to run out of money if you have a long-term care situation pop up. Nice thing about that is the government, you know, if you need long-term care and you run out of assets, Medicaid will take care of you. The mm-hmm. downside of that is you're not going to be...
You lose your, what do you say, not your legacy, but...
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're not leaving any assets to anyone, A, and B, you're probably not going to be in the facility that you would want to be in.
You know,
they can put you into one of their approved facilities, mm-hmm. which are generally not
the nicer ones. It'd be more of a nuts and bolts facility.
So what I would suggest to people is sit down with your planner, your advisor. Hopefully he's a CFP.
Mm-hmm.
He'll be trained in helping you along that trail. And you can look and see, okay, do I need it? Or can I just self-sustain my long-term care? If I need it, if I need long-term care insurance, what type of a product am I going to get?
Mm-hmm.
Am I going to pay premiums every year? I would suggest not doing that, but you could.
Mm-hmm.
Or you could buy an insurance product that has long-term care benefits in it.
So that would be like a rider, a policy rider? Or?
Riders on annuities. There's actually life insurance policies with mm-hmm. we've been doing a lot of those where... it has a death benefit. Let's say somebody puts $100,000 in it, mm-hmm. and it'll have like $135,000 death benefit.
Mm-hmm.
No big deal. You know, not,
right.
I mean, it's more than what you put in.
You would say it's like a healthy amount of interest and a pretty safe
right,
way to do that.
Right.
Okay.
And, but if you need long-term care, it has like $350,000 worth of long-term care benefits mm-hmm. that are paid out monthly over a 5-year period. So those are very popular right now.
Yeah.
But then there's that, that where we use that at is protect ground.
Mm-hmm.
Or if somebody has a lot of money in savings and they are risk adverse to being in the market, we'll use a product like that to help them make sure that they don't spend down assets that aren't earning anything. And then, of course, the third way is to self-fund because you've got enough assets, cash assets, to do things like that. We also involve estate planning attorneys in that
mm-hmm.
and elder care planning.
Is that where, do you guys all get together? Does that, okay. That's nice that everyone can sit in the same room so everyone feels good about the best decision being made.
This morning I had an appointment with a client, and as I pointed out to them, my job is to do the best thing for them. Mm-hmm. And this morning that wasn't the best thing for Bob, but it was the best thing for the client.
Yeah.
And he was so appreciative of that when he left. Well, it's the same for attorneys. Mm-hmm. And Bob Schwartz sitting with them is we're all fiduciaries. Mm-hmm. So it's our job to do what's right for the client.
Well,
so we get along very well because we all have the same, we're all working for the same thing, mm-hmm. which is what is best for the client.
Well, it's like you said in one of your previous episodes, part of being successful is looking in your client's pocket and not your own, and making sure that you're making the best choices for them, which you have to as a fiduciary,
yes.
But it's also just a good moral way to walk.
Well, and yeah, if I go back to when I was not a fiduciary before I became CFP, when I quit looking in my pocket, it was when I became successful,
mm-hmm.
when I forgot about what was in it for Bob.
Yeah.
And that's hard to do when you're young in this industry and you're mm-hmm. hungry. But it was a game changer, because then all of a sudden I had products that people needed because I was recommending what they needed.
Right.
Not, or what they wanted them because it was what they needed,
mm-hmm.
not because it was something I had deemed that would be appropriate for them, to own. So we do a lot of meetings that way. I would suggest to anyone doing that, no matter where you're watching this from, no matter where you're listening from, is to sit down with a CFP first. Sit down with a CFP first and work with, visit with them about who do we need to bring on board. Do we need a CPA? Do we need an estate planning attorney, an elder care attorney? And quite honestly, the reason I would do that is not to cut any of those people out, but a CFP is going to be able to help you understand which of those you need. And very important, Charlotte, mm-hmm. to have those come in because the clock's generally ticking when we bring them on board. Elder care attorneys generally have a healthy fee just to sit down.
So it would be a couple meetings. You sign up or do the first one with you and see what you are thinking they're going to be needing and who is going to need to be at the next meeting. And then the next time is pen to paper business, or maybe there's three meetings.
Let's talk about how that works.
Okay.
Sit down. I collect information. We talk about what their concerns are. Mm-hmm. Everybody's got, anybody that comes in talking about retirement planning or estate planning or long-term care planning, they have concerns or they wouldn't be in. And we do a written plan that identifies weaknesses and strengths mm-hmm. in the client's portfolio, in their game plan. And then we'll talk with them about, or we'll make recommendations of here's who we need to bring on board. The key thing to understand also is, then when we bring those folks on board, we don't have an interest in those folks. I mean, if you have an estate planning attorney that you want to use, we have no problem with that
mm-hmm.
because we don't have a horse in the race. Do we have estate planning attorneys we recommend? Yes, but we don't work with them in any way. I mean, otherwise, we recommend them. We do not make any money off of their relationship with our client. It's all totally kept separate. That's the law. But people need to understand that everybody's sitting there at the table, to help them do the best for them. Once that written plan's out, then the client can say, okay, we're ready to move forward. We want to talk about this, this, and this. We don't want to worry about this part. So that's how we handle that. It boils down to men, and we visited about this earlier, us old guys don't want to talk about long-term care. We want to talk about dying on the tractor.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't mean
to interrupt you. I think a lot of guys are counting on the lifespan of a woman. And, she's going to outlive me anyway, so we really need to plan this for her, not for me. She's going to be spoon-feeding me applesauce for a few years.
And And I have many clients that is the game plan, is that the wife will take care of, you know, we take care of the wife,
mm-hmm.
long-term care-wise. And the game plan for the guy is mom's going to
check out first, yeah.
She'll help him take care, you know, she'll help take care of him. And that's great. And
it's a little bit of a gamble because you're gambling on her genetics and accidents can happen and, you know, all sorts of other things.
It's probably on the whole, most caregivers
mm-hmm.
in Kansas today would just as soon not be caregivers.
Yeah.
Most family caregivers, whether that's...
I can definitely think of some off the top of my head that are doing it out of loyalty, not out of that's how they wanted to spend their last years.
Right. And that doesn't make the, you know, I don't believe any caregiver, you know, deep down inside really wishes to be a caregiver. They wish that their spouse was healthy.
Healthy, yeah.
But I just had a dear client, a couple, and he had to go to long-term care because
mm-hmm.
she could not take care of him anymore. And that was not their game plan. Their game plan was for her to help him, but she just couldn't take care of him anymore. In her case, she wishes she was the caregiver. Fortunately, they have the assets mm-hmm. to not have any concerns whatsoever about legacy planning, you know, or, you know, spending up her assets while he's in long-term care.
We'll check back in with Bob Schwartz in a moment. But first, I wanted to reveal to you why Bob wanted to create this show. Bob is coming up on 45 years of visiting with his fellow rural Americans in regards to their financial security and succession planning. He has a plethora of wisdom, interesting stories, and insights to share. Being a constant supporter of farmers and rural Americans, he hopes to connect with and inspire their interest in planning for what the future may bring. If you want to connect with Bob, visit our website at bobschwartzfinancial.com.
Yeah, it's not for a lady watching this show, it's not her goal to be a caregiver. For a gentleman watching this show, it's not our goal to be a caregiver. And I know that if Deb has to take care of me, you know, if she's spending some time because I'm struggling with something, we still want to be in a position that she can go do what she wants to do at certain times,
mm-hmm.
that she can enjoy her life. So how does that happen if she's taking care of me? Well, you do that through daily, some type of daily assistance,
mm-hmm.
whether that's coming into your home or you're living somewhere else. Either way, those are going to incur costs that we need to be prepared for in some way, shape, or form. And whether that's, you know, if you have no plan for that, Charlotte, that's a plan.
Mm-hmm.
You know, your plan is we're not going to do anything.
Right.
And quite honestly, that is the way most families handle their long-term care planning.
Mm-hmm.
It's, well, we're not going to talk about that.
We're gonna scramble and we'll figure it out fast.
When the poop is hitting the fan,
mm-hmm.
then we're gonna start making decisions, and we're gonna be making decisions under pressure, and we're gonna be making decisions emotionally. And how good does that work mm-hmm. out in your lifetime, making emotional decisions?
So I have a question. Let's say this time's coming and you can't represent yourself as well as maybe you used to be able to. What do you need to have in place to, and how do you contact someone? So like if my mom went down or needed help, how do I even know what she has?
Yeah, well.
So that's, I guess, a communication thing. But imagine somebody thinking that they're in that position and making quick decisions and their parents had something in place the whole time. Like how do you put a Band-Aid on that fix it?
Family meeting.
Okay.
Yeah. And if there's multiple children, generally just having the child that will be, you know, if one child's going to be the decision maker.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about that process.
Yeah.
I start getting forgetful, or I start getting, you know, something happens to me physically.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, and I'm going to the doctor. The doctor who is who triggers long-term care, basically, in Kansas.
Mm-hmm.
So Deb sees me slipping.
Yeah.
And she goes to my family physician and says, you know, can you examine Bob? I think he needs some help. And then the physician's going to say, you need to get some home health care, or some, he needs to go to assisted living, or he needs long-term care. He's going to write up orders.
So you need a referral.
It refers me in.
So how does Deb do that? Because I bet in a lot of situations that's a really causes a lot of friction to seek out help for your spouse or seek out a diagnosis or something like that. I mean, do you know?
No, it's not.
You don't think so?
No, because the spouse has been failing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, otherwise, if I forget, you know, if I forget Deb's name today,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's going to be, you forgot my name.
Mm-hmm.
You know? But if I forget her name 30 days in a row, you know, she's going to say, well, why don't we go to the doctor, have him check you out.
And you'll so be then, like.
Yeah, and then, yeah, well, go home and see if this, you know, here, take this and see if it doesn't get better. And then if it doesn't get, I mean, otherwise, I'm going to have a history with my physician of seeing some slippage.
Mm-hmm.
So but that decision to go to long-term care, that's the toughest. Other than when I took my dad to Rossville, Kansas,
mm-hmm.
to the long-term care facility, is the hardest thing I've ever, ever done in my life, other than burying.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it was absolutely something I don't want to relive ever. Living.
Mm-hmm.
And if we go, we're going to go together. Even if one of us is totally healthy, we've already, you know, made that decision. But if one of us goes to long-term care, you know, we want to still keep our options open to go back for the other person, mm-hmm. to go back home or to stay in assisted living, you know, those type of decisions. But we've made those, and then we've made our trustees aware of it, and then we also have a power of attorney for our successor trustees, and what that means is then they can act in our best interest,
mm-hmm.
at signing documents, taking care of paying bills, because that's the other thing, you know. And well, we're taking, you know, say mom's passed away and we're taking dad's going into long-term care, you know, the kids, somebody needs, whoever's taking care of things needs to be able to write checks, pay the bills and things like that. How most of that happens today is house on fire.
Mm-hmm.
You're making decisions under extreme emotional stress. Life's going 900 miles an hour. And it's tough to make good decisions then, mm-hmm. you know. And it's like watching an athlete. And all of a sudden, somebody misses two free throws who never did that all year. But why did that happen? Because it was under pressure at the end of a game and duress. And you don't want to be making long-term care facility decisions like that. You want to have a game plan.
Right.
And that game plan, you know, if it's written and in a booklet, next to your trust and your mm-hmm. wills, where your children or your successor, you know, you know where it's at, then you've taken huge steps towards taking some of that raw emotional pain away from your family, from your spouse, or from your children. And all it takes is just making it, you know, it's like doing a will. Everybody that ever does a will, you think you're going to get run over the next 24 hours. You mm-hmm. know? But once you're done with it, you're done. And long-term care planning is the same way. Do it, get it over with, and you're done with it. You don't have to, then when the time arrives and your decision's being made on where you're going to go, mom and dad have a game plan listed out so that if that's one of their children, that child knows, better part of 5 years, taking care of him hand and foot.
Mm-hmm.
And she just couldn't tell him that she couldn't do it anymore.
Yeah.
And, nobody wants that.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody wants that. But if certain pins drop certain ways and you haven't made any game plans, that forces you into that corner of that happening. And so, because of those little stories that I've just told, makes me very adamant with my, not adamant, but very passionate with my clients about, you know, let's make sure that you don't do that
mm-hmm.
to your kids. And just about everybody that comes in here, whose parents have passed away,
yeah.
can tell the same stories.
Right.
About how there was no pre-planning in long-term care. Average age of going into long-term care today is 83. Back 50 years ago, I think it was 76.
Mm-hmm.
So see, we're healthy a lot longer now. And 83 is assisted living too. So see, it's moved up.
Yeah.
You're going to live to be 100.
I hope so.
Yeah, yeah, or more. And in good health, probably. We want to make sure that we understand that there's going to be some extreme costs.
Nobody had kids just so they could throw away their legacy and leave them on their own. Although some people don't, or that's not their plan, which is,
sure.
you know, which is fine because sure. that's a plan, just like you're saying.
Nobody, I have a lot of clients say, you know, my parents didn't leave me anything and I did fine and that's mm-hmm. how we feel. Well, and that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But do you want to have the state, Medicaid, taking care of you, then you're going to be in a facility of their choosing.
Yeah.
And you just have to understand that.
Right.
And if you don't know up from out, care is expensive. My sister has home health care. She had it for 15 hours a week and has for years. Well, the company has just required that she have 20 hours a week, you know, because that's the minimum they will do home health care for. Mm-hmm. Well, that's a 25% increase overnight in her home health care.
I see.
And, you know, can she do anything about it? No. Because
it's a business decision.
It's a corporation, yeah. And they're, you know, they've got somebody else that they can send that person to for 20 hours a week if she doesn't do it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, she called up and said, you know, my income that I'm using now is not going to be enough. You know, I need mm-hmm. We need to look at my income streams and figure out where we're going to pull the money from to cover that.
Yeah.
And she has the asset base to do it, and we'll get that done.
So let's circle back around. Who needs to be at the table to put a long-term care plan in place?
Okay. Mom and dad, mm-hmm. starting out. And then probably at the, let's say an ag producing family,
okay.
that owns 1,000 acres of ground, mm-hmm. and $500,000 worth of equipment in, so anywhere in Kansas. Probably going to need an estate planning attorney, mm-hmm. At the table for sure. Probably not an elder, you know, and let's say they're 65. That's probably going to need an estate planning attorney at the table. Now let's spin forward and say we have a 45-year-old couple sitting at the table, and they farm with their dad, who is 70.
Mm-hmm.
And dad and mom, dad still farms daily, but son.
About running out of money?
Yeah, usually you'll see them do. Yeah, if somebody, you have
five years. Yeah.
And generally that's done with an irrevocable trust.
That's what I was going to ask, if it was a trust.
And yeah. Those, it's kind of an expensive process because it's quite extensive for the attorney. But by doing that, after 60 months, that the Medicaid cannot attach to that ground. So,
is that a way that mom and dad in this scenario could still be getting some sort of income off the ground as well?
Yes, they can get income for the rest of their lives off the ground, even though it's in an irrevocable trust. That's especially important if there's heirs on the farm.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we'll see ag producers, let's say they'll take a section of ground and put it into an irrevocable trust, but they'll keep a quarter mm-hmm. out of it so that they can sell that quarter if they ever want to.
Keep it liquid.
Yeah, so that they can get a hold of some money if they ever want to. So we see all kinds of that, and it's really up to the client mm-hmm. how they want to handle it. But especially when they have heirs that they want to make sure that they keep that farm ground and that equipment whole, there are things that can be done. But that becomes the irrevocable trust part of it.
Okay.
And so there are ways to handle that. Now, let's say, I see this happen all the time. Say the same scenario, but let's say they then also have $500,000 in retirement and they have another $100,000 in cash. I've seen the estate planning attorney say, okay, we're going to go ahead and do your trust work, have all this set up the way you want it for your kids, passing on the farm grant, you know, how, mm-hmm. how you want that done. We'll have all that taken care of, and we're not going to do an irrevocable trust. But if there is a long-term care situation pops up that is using that is eating up your money, we'll do an irrevocable trust at that time because you have enough money to last for over 5 years.
Okay.
All right, enough cash assets
to last that we can go ahead and do the irrevocable trust at that time. So I've seen it done in all different kinds of ways.
Which is why you have to have a plan, have a meeting, get a strategy going.
Well, and we could sit here and talk all day, mm-hmm. but there's no two houses that are the same.
Yeah, well, we really could anyways.
But there's no house that, you know, some farms have no children, you know, or no heirs that are going to farm the ground. You know, it's just everybody's different. Mm-hmm. And that's why you need to sit down with somebody that can help you go, okay, all right, this is, how do you see this happening?
Right.
And they'll say, oh, well, this is what we see happening. Okay, well, then we can say, here's how you do that. Mm-hmm. Here's how you make that happen. And here's how you take care of your estate plan, your long-term care plan. We kind of blend it all into one, and then boom, it's like a flower. It's done,
yeah.
It grows, it blooms. And then it becomes a plastic flower that sits in the corner, and you don't need to do anything with it, but about once every 5 to 10 years,
clean it. It's still what you want.
Right. So make sure it's still the flower that you want.
Then so we can say,
can they be changed?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Here's how you make that happen.
Here's how you take care of your estate plan. You can't do anything with those.
Long-term care plan.
Once you put the ground in it,
one,
the ground is in the trust.
It's like a flower. It's done.
Yeah.
It grows. It blooms. And then it becomes plastic flower that sets in the corner, and you don't need to do anything with it, but about once every 5 to 10 years.
Yeah, if I don't...
Just look at it and see if it's still what you want.
Could do,
yeah. Make sure it's still the flower that you want.
One thing.
Do you have a favorite small town fact or questions for us regarding this episode? Reach out by emailing Bob or call one of our Kansas offices in Silver Lake or Victoria. Visit our website at bobschwartzfinancial.com.